S. Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Meta, parent of Facebook, released a new report declaring artificial intelligence did not play a major role in election disinformation this year.
Meta says that AI-enabled disinformation campaigns did not materialize in a significant way on its platforms, which include Facebook and Instagram. The company says that AI political content represented less than 1% of all fact-check misinformation in the months leading up to the 2024 election.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. The Trump administration and Justice Department signed a memorandum of understanding to facilitate background checks, but there is no guarantee the president-elect will submit his nominees to FBI background checks. Trenton Waterworks, which provides the drinking water in the New Jersey capital, is acknowledging its water went largely untested for more than a year. The company says it fired a worker it claimed phonied up the reports. This is ABC News. A tense quiet return to the Israel-Lebanon border.
Israel and Lebanon reaffirming their commitment to a U.S.-brokered ceasefire signed less than a week ago. That after the sides traded rounds late Monday, leaving 9 dead on the Lebanese side. The Israeli army defending its strikes, alleging Hezbollah is entering prohibited areas and attempting to fire and reclaim weapons. Defense Minister Yisrael Katz warning Beirut, if the ceasefire collapses, the IDF will hit not just Hezbollah, but Lebanese targets. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
It's been called the closest the world has ever come to a vaccine against HIV. Pharmaceutical Gilead previously said its twice-yearly shot was 100% effective in women, and last week it reported it worked nearly as well in men. Gilead says it will allow less expensive generic versions to be sold in 120 lower-income countries, mostly in Africa, Southeast Asia, and the Caribbean. Richard Cantu.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Packers head to Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers on their way to Detroit to play the Lions tomorrow night at Ford Field. The Lions now have 18 players on injured reserve, 13 of them defensive players. I asked running back Josh Jacobs, the only teams they've lost to are the Lions, Eagles, and Vikings, all playoff teams. At 9-3, do the Packers feel like a postseason contender?
I would say we're heading that way. To me personally, I feel like a lot of these games, even the games that was close for us, it's a lot of things that we kind of did. Whenever we lock in, as a team, feel like it's us versus us.
College basketball, the Badgers no longer undefeated. They lost in Madison last night, 67-64 to Michigan. The Badgers now 8-1. They face Marquette on Saturday. The Bucks with another win, 127-107 over the Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo, proud of how Damian Lillard is becoming a vocal leader on the team.
Damian did a great job just having us in that mindset that we got to put the game away. This way we become the team that we try to become.
The Bucks host the Hawks tonight with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're in the Milwaukee area and looking for live holiday entertainment, run, don't walk, to see A Christmas Carol at the Pabst Theater. The Dickens classic is one of the most well-known Christmas stories ever and, as usual, is put on by the Milwaukee Rep. Because of a few harrowing moments, recommended ages are 6 and above, but word on the street is they aren't checking IDs. Tickets start as low as $15, and at those prices, you can't afford not to check it out. You might think being nominated for an Academy Award is a big deal. For most people, it would be, but not Samuel Jackson. Jackson was not nominated in the Best Supporting Actor category for his role as Jules in Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. Jackson told the AP that people barely remember who won, much less who didn't, when it comes to nominations. Jackson did, however, say it would be an honor to win, even though he hasn't had the pleasure yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds overnight and just a few snow showers developing with lows in the mid-20s, gusty southwest winds. On Wednesday, that breeze goes around to the northwest. Snow showers move through, mostly cloudy, lower 30s by lunchtime, falling into the middle 20s. It's 24 at our studios.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, and Kelvin Futenoff back together and coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Todd Alba will be joining us at 10:33. We're going to talk about the Dane County judge ruling that Act 10 is unconstitutional.
Cue applause.
And what that's going to mean going forward, of course, we know that there will be appeals, and that's not a surprise.
No.
So, but we will kick that around with Todd Alba when he joins us at 10:33. Going to wrap it all up with, this shouldn't be a thing. It's a special one today.
Oh, man.
You found this one.
My apologies.
You're in trouble now edition.
You're in trouble now.
Yes. You're going to have to stick around for all the details of that coming up at the very end of the show. But it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
We'll see. I did want to remind everybody today is Giving Tuesday. I'm sure you've probably heard about this.
Yes.
Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. Today is Giving Tuesday.
Yep.
If you would like to check out volunteering,
yes,
or maybe donating to a local organization, a local nonprofit, we have a special page on our website. Go to civicmedia.us/giving, and that has all kinds of links that you can use to make donations. Again, check out volunteer opportunities. Our nonprofits couldn't function without volunteers. So, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more next hour, too, on things you want to be on the lookout for, because, of course, when it comes time for people to be generous, there's always scammers who want to take advantage of people who are being generous.
Did you say with scammers?
No, but I should have.
I love that.
Yeah, that's
exactly what she said, folks.
Yes, that is exactly what I said. No, it's not. That's coming up next hour. We do have breaking news, though, as we were coming on the air this morning. I do not know a lot about this, but this is from the New York Times. The president of South Korea has declared emergency martial law in an extraordinary reaction to political deadlock that has hobbled his tenure. This is the first time a president of South Korea has declared martial law since the military dictatorship ended in South Korea in the late 80s. The president accused the opposition of plotting insurgency and trying to overthrow free democracy. I also saw that this is on Twitter, the South Korean National Assembly can vote to revoke this martial law. They had 190 lawmakers out of 300, which is enough to lift this martial law ban. But now it's whether or not the president will actually do that.
Yeah.
So this is an ongoing story. As I said, it broke just as we were coming on the air, and I'm sure we'll have news updates and the like coming through all morning long, but we will keep an eye on that as well. Did want to start off, though, of course, this was the big news yesterday when you and I were both off. And there's still fallout coming from this, which I guess is not a surprise. Headline from today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Lawrence Andrea says, Democrats Baldwin Pocan expressed disappointment over President Biden's pardon of his son. President Biden on Sunday night announced he would be pardoning his son, Hunter Biden, even though he said he would not do that before. And now, according to the article, some of Wisconsin's top Democrats, Senator Tammy Baldwin, suggesting that pardons should not be used, quote, for family members or to hand out political favors, unquote. Representative Mark Pocan speculated that President-elect Trump could use the move as an excuse to make pardons of his own, including for those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He was going to do that anyway.
Yep.
He campaigned on that. That's not a surprise, Calvin.
Well, and I don't think, like, and as far as I'm aware, I've always considered pardons to be used as the president for personal favors. Like, I thought that was explicitly what they were for.
Yeah. They are done in that vein. They're also done to pardon those who may have, you know, are seen as social, I don't want to say outcast, but people who've been put in prison for a long time. And, you know, this is the biggest example, Leonard Peltier. For decades, people have been calling for his pardon.
And I've been seeing that come up, too.
And no president has done it yet. No president has touched it. Not even leaving office, they're doing it. But, like, looking at someone like what they see as a political prisoner and using the pardon pen to get them out of jail. I told you how I feel about this. I don't care.
I will say that I felt a twinge, and not in a good way, when I saw the news probably yesterday morning, only because I knew that there was going to be this blowback. Yeah. Well, he lied to us. Well, I believe that his intention was good when he said that he wasn't going to pardon him.
Yeah.
And I have, again, this is simply my opinion, but I think when Trump named Kash Patel as the potential head of the FBI, and Kash Patel has a well-known enemies list on people he plans to go after should he get confirmed for this. And I think that was when President Biden decided, I have to do this, or they're never going to leave him alone.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll get more into that, too, and when we talk more about some of his picks. And Kash Patel is just a gem of a human being.
Oh, he's in such good company.
Yes, he is amongst just liars and thieves. When I say I don't care, No, I meant it. I don't care about the blowback, because the people who are up, the Democrats who are upset, let them be upset. I don't care. The Republicans who are upset, they're hypocrites. We're going to have this article in the show notes today, and Congressman Pocan, Senator Tammy Baldwin have said how they feel. That's fine. You can say what you want. I don't agree with you. I just don't. And they. Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald,
oh, well,
Ron Johnson,
I know.
Who was it? Derek Van Bully.
Yeah.
All of them are like, this is the most corrupt thing I've ever seen. He'll be the worst president in history.
Oh, spare me.
I do not care. It's his son. Y'all would have done the same thing if you were in the same position, especially, as you said, with someone like Kash Patel possibly running the FBI. Sorry. These are crocodile tears from both sides. And I do not. Yes. Good. I'm glad you did it.
Calvin.
Well, and I just think the argument from the Republicans that Biden's doing this to cover his trail or Hunter's trail, I think it falls apart, because being pardoned doesn't give you immunity to other crimes you've committed.
Yeah.
So if they
find
something else, they're perfectly within their power to prosecute him again.
The Biden crime family stopped now.
Well, and that's why when I was seeing some of the reactions from the Wisconsin Republicans, it's like, spare me.
Yeah.
Spare me the outrage. Just as a reminder, Donald Trump pardoned Paul Manafort, a former campaign official convicted of tax and bank fraud and alleged interference by Russia.
Yeah.
In the 2016 presidential election, Donald Trump pardoned Roger Stone, convicted of charges of lying to Congress about his knowledge of Russian efforts to discredit Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump also pardoned his son-in-law's father, Charles Kushner, who we're going to get to into a little bit more detail.
Yeah.
He was charged with tax evasion and retaliating against a federal witness. Yeah, this is a real tasty case.
Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Roger Stone and Michael Flynn
holding up their pardons.
Yeah. So this is where I'm just like, I don't care about your outrage. The Republicans' hypocritical fake outrage on the right, and Democrats, I don't care about your outrage on the left. It's his son. He got to do it. He did it. Fine. We move on. It's not going to end our republic. And Donald Trump is set to free 1,200 individuals who looked to overthrow our election. So,
and attacked police officers. Yeah. We saw it happen.
Yeah. I literally looked at my phone when I saw that. I went, huh. And I moved
that
on.
That he pardoned Hunter. Yeah. By the way, President Biden still has one of the lowest clemency rates compared to other presidents. Yeah. Trump granted 143 pardons during his first term. So far, just take a guess. So far, how many pardons has President Biden granted, including this one from Hunter?
12.
26.
Boom.
Yes. Yeah, Donald Trump granted 143 pardons during his first term. And there were also plenty of rumors going around. Wasn't it Paul Manafort who was shopping pardons? There was someone associated with the first Trump administration that was like, you want a pardon? It's going to cost you $1 million.
Well, they're also talking about blanket pardons. They're talking about Trump pardoning himself. I mean, like, that's the thing is, you know, this is not a tool being used in the best light for by the Trump administration. And we've seen it with how many he's given. This just goes back once again to the Republicans get to act however they want. Say whatever they want, and the moment that you try to hold them accountable and to a higher standard, they get outraged, they turn into snowflakes, and they become the victims. But the moment a Democrat does anything they don't like, oh my gosh, you think that the country was covered in burning flags and dying bald eagles because this is it, folks, the most corrupt president, Joe Biden.
Lynn from Oconomowoc texting in, good morning to President Biden, pardon away. It's time to double down. I totally agree with you. Kimberly from Muscadet, Trump is literally a criminal. And Andrew from Maine, but did any of the January 6th felons lie on their firearm purchase forms? Such a good point.
Very good question.
Such a good question.
Are you disappointed in Joe Biden? Let us know.
Well, and I did see one other article this morning that said, you know what would help alleviate these issues? If it was written out what constitutes acceptable behavior by family members or members of the administration instead of, you know, it's kind of all up for interpretation.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so if there was something hard and fast, it's like, these are the rules. Mm-hmm. This is what you can and you can't do no matter who's in office.
Yeah.
That might be some way, you know, to alleviate some of these things.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen because there's always going to be some guy that some guy is a golf buddy with who's in jail for tax something, and they're going to be like, yeah, I'll pardon him. I'm leaving.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, I mean, Clinton had some shifty ones too.
They all do. That's the thing. Every president has pardons that you look back and you go, why?
Yeah.
Why? And that is...
Where's the payoff?
Where's the payoff? Or where is, like, you know...
Yeah, where's the quid?
Hey, I gave you the pro quo. Where's my quid?
Where's my quid, baby? Gene, I see you on the line. We will take you when we get back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're all back together on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah!
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Punch de Leon's rapidly shrinking platform.
Oh, man, what a bummer. What a bummer.
If you are just joining us, we were talking about President Biden's decision to pardon his son, Hunter Biden, and some of the reactions we're seeing from Wisconsin Democrats and Wisconsin Republicans. If you would like to chime in on this, we had a comment from Scott on the text line listening on WAUK. Here's my theory I shared with Dom yesterday. I'm sure the plan was for Kamala to do the pardoning of Hunter, not Joe. That was no longer possible. Don't know if that's true, but that's very possible, Scott. Gene from Eau Claire has been very patient. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for waiting. What did you want to say about this?
Gene. You there, sweetie?
Gene, you are not coming through for some reason. If you want to give us a call back, the number is the same.
Oh, there you are. There you are.
Good morning, Gene.
I'm sorry I put, you know, that thing on, you know, the mute button, so yeah. I should be breathing on the air here. So anyway, welcome back, guys. You are a breath of fresh air. It's wonderful to hear a normalized conversation on this instead of going after the president who had to deal with more garbage than any president I've ever seen from the day he stepped into office, saying he stole his seat and all the garbage that's gone on. Well, you know, these people are the ones that have given the American people the finger regarding the rule of law. They shouldn't even be opening their mouths, sorry, but I'm really serious about this. And the threats that are to everybody and to Biden's son. I mean, I watched those. When they were going after Biden's son, Merrick Garland, all the different people that help to save our lives, even, you know, as far as the pandemic, Fauci.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have been ruthless, and I've been watching. They haven't did a gal dang thing except go out. Now they're going to be doing it legally. If I called and said, you know, because the president has a comment line, pardon your son. I mean, it scares the jeepies out of me when he gets in there, because he's all after vengeance. He don't give up.
A flying hoot. Yes.
A hoot.
A flying hoot, Gene. Really appreciate you checking in, Gene. Thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate you listening.
And we got comments on the live stream saying the same. We got comments on the live stream giving their opinions. Tony on the live stream left a few messages. I think the Democrats, it's a matter holding themselves to a higher standard. They campaign on it and Republicans don't. I don't disagree with that, but I don't think this one action means that the standards are blown to pieces. I think he did what he did for his reasons, and they're not ours. And if people want to come at him, they can. But they have to come at him with pretty high standards for these criticisms. Another thing that Tony brought up was that us talking about Trump is whataboutism. I disagree with that because we're not taking a totally different instance where Trump is acting on something. We're talking about the fact that he has made one pardon for his son, and people on the right are losing their minds. And not a single one of those same Republicans lost their minds when he pardoned actual
criminals.
I mean, but Hunter Biden is a criminal by law. He is convicted.
Yes.
But the things that these guys did too, there's no outrage for them.
Well,
these are comparisons.
I agree with you. Where's the outrage that Steve Bannon, remember, Steve Bannon fleeced Trump supporters to build the wall and he bought a yacht and a car and was living a pretty good life. And there wasn't a peep from anybody about this.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to share while we're talking about all the best people.
Yeah.
Mentioned Jared Kushner's father, Charles. Do you know what he did? Why he went to prison?
I feel like part of it I can't mention on the radio.
He admitted to paying a prostitute to seduce his brother-in-law, and he made sure it was taped.
Yeah.
And then he sent it to his own sister to dissuade her from testifying against him in a federal money laundering or something. What a fine human being.
Looking for all their outrage.
Who doesn't do that?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, why not?
Yeah. Once again, I'm just going to say it. Our democracy, our republic stands. Our democracy is sound to a certain extent as far as him pardoning his son. This means I will not clutch a pearl. I will not get angry, and nor will I say like, oh, he's a bad person. He's not a bad person. He's a wonderful man.
Who loves his son?
Who loves his son, and we'd all do the same if we were in the same situation. Don't tell me you wouldn't. I don't believe you.
Well, and the other thing that I saw as well was that these particular charges are not normally charged.
Especially the
gun charge.
The gun charge and the sentencing was out of hand as well. So we're dealing with a whole bunch. This was
targeted.
This was very targeted. And when they wanted to talk to Hunter Biden, they wanted to talk to him behind closed doors. He said, no, I'll talk to you out in the open. They said,
we're good.
Then
we can't cherry pick what we leak.
But hey, they get their cake and they eat it too. They got to prosecute him. They got to throw him in jail. And now they get to be upset about this. Oh, it's always the victim.
And Marge got to share pictures of his junk.
Oh,
in the house. Calvin.
Well, I did want to just make a correction. Dave from Milwaukee pointed out, and I looked into it. What I said about was a little incorrect about the pardons. It does explicitly say any crimes he may have committed.
It's pretty broad. It's pretty broad.
Very broad. But the other thing I was going to say was I'll make a promise to all Republicans and Democrats otherwise who have a problem with the pardon. I won't vote for Joe Biden in 2028.
There it is, folks. Resident young person making suggestions and solutions to the problems at hand. Calvin, thank you so much.
Well done, Calvin. Calvin fixes it all.
There it is. New segment.
Cal fixes it all. All right. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll be joined by our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, from the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 p.m. Going to kick around Act 10 and the Dane County judge's decision yesterday. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Meta, parent of Facebook, released a new report declaring artificial intelligence did not play a major role in election disinformation this year.
Meta says that AI-enabled disinformation campaigns did not materialize in a significant way on its platforms, which include Facebook and Instagram. The company says that AI political content represented less than 1% of all fact-check misinformation in the months leading up to the 2024 election.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. The Trump administration and Justice Department signed a memorandum of understanding to facilitate background checks, but there is no guarantee the president-elect will submit his nominees to FBI background checks. Trenton Waterworks, which provides the drinking water in the New Jersey capital, is acknowledging its water went largely untested for more than a year. The company says it fired a worker it claimed phonied up the reports. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers head to Detroit. Hi. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers on their way to Detroit to play the Lions tomorrow night at Ford Field. The Lions now have 18 players on injured reserve, 13 of them defensive players. I asked running back Josh Jacobs, the only teams they've lost to are the Lions, Eagles, and Vikings, all playoff teams. At 9-3, do the Packers feel like a postseason contender?
I would say we're heading that way. To me personally, I feel like a lot of these games, even the games that was close for us, it's a lot of things that we kind of did. Whenever we lock in, as a team, I feel like it's us versus us.
College basketball, the Badgers no longer undefeated. They lost in Madison last night, 67-64 to Michigan. The Badgers now 8-1. They face Marquette on Saturday. The Bucks with another win, 127-107 over the Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo, proud of how Damian Lillard is becoming a vocal leader on the team.
Damian did a great job just having us in that mindset that we got to put the game away. This way we become the team that we try to become.
The Bucks host the Hawks tonight with sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. When I saw Wicked last weekend at my local theater, I was surprised the crowd wasn't more into it. On the other hand, some theaters are taking issue with moviegoers singing along. Stars Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande weighed in, saying audiences should do whatever they feel. Moana's 2, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, also says it's okay to sing along. So to those who heckled me last weekend in the middle of my performance during the film, I say take that. And seriously, clapping is good, but let's leave the singing to the professionals. If you're a fan of Yellowstone, there's a pretty good bet one of your favorite characters has been killed off in recent episodes. I will hold off on the most recent killings for spoiler purposes, but the killing spree started with Kevin Costner's character John Dutton, who was found dead in the first episode of the second half of season 5. If you're a fan of the show, you better start watching while there's still a cast. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds overnight and just a few snow showers developing with lows in the mid-20s. Gusty southwest winds. On Wednesday, that breeze goes around to the northwest. Snow showers move through, mostly cloudy, lower 30s by lunchtime, falling into the middle 20s. It's 24 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World.
Another dumb paid millions for a duct-taped banana. You don't get to take home the banana. You're just taking the concept of it.
They sold this for $6.2 million. The guy bought a banana for 35 cents and took a thing of duct tape and put it on a white wall.
It's art, baby.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, it is Giving Tuesday. There's lots of wonderful nonprofits that you can donate to, and we're trying to make it a little bit easier for you here at Civic Media. Just go to civicmedia.us/giving, and we have a whole list of local nonprofits, statewide nonprofits, whether it is your local animal shelter or whatever your cause is. Today is the day. Nonprofits really do a lot of their fundraising for the year today. So if you are looking for somewhere to give, go to civicmedia.us/giving. And again, that will have some suggestions for you as well. If you want to volunteer, maybe you can't give money. And that's fine because they need bodies just as much as they need cash. Mm-hmm. So delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague and the host of the fantastic program, the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 p.m. on this fine network. Todd Alba is here. Where are you this morning?
I'm in a secure, undisclosed location, but first of all, just to add to the list of the Tuesday annual giving, my routing number is 62371, and my Venmo is, that's not what this is about.
Wrong giving, wrong kind of giving, Todd. Nice idea.
wrong kind of giving. I'm in Green Bay. I'll just say that.
All right.
I'm here. Yeah, and it's a long story I won't bore you and your listeners with, but there was a flu involved, which have rearranged my schedule.
Oh, no.
So I can't tell you where I'm at right now.
You're isolated.
Looking at my shirt, I have a Green Bay Packer logo. No, I was not exposed. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
And I'm not allowed to tell you where I'm at, but if I look out this window, I may or may not be within a stone's throw of the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That's narrowed it down. You narrowed it down for us. Nice. Appreciate that. Well, I hope everybody's okay. I know that there were some worries about flu and stuff spreading over the holiday, over the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm glad to hear you are well.
I was not exposed.
You were not exposed. Excellent. No. We wanted to talk to kick this around with you a little bit because you were kind of close as this was going on. From today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, from Jessica Van Egren, Hope Carnop, and Sophie Carlson, the headline reads, Act 10 overturned by Dane County Judge, Walker-era law decimated public employee unions. What is your memory of when this was going down in the state capitol, Todd?
Going to work one day and not being able to get into the building because Jesse Jackson was holding a press rally or a press conference on the steps of the state capitol. That's a true story. It was Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton holding an impromptu press conference on the south entrance to the state capitol. Look, it was surreal, right? Yeah, it was my last stint at the capitol as chief of staff for Dale Schultz, who ended up being the only Republican in the state Senate to vote against Act 10. I remember it as a tumultuous time, certainly the most tumultuous of my 25 to 30 years working in the state and federal government. One time there were 100,000 protesters inside and outside the state capitol. And again, always worth mentioning, I think, because my former boss also sat on a committee called SCURB, which is the State Capitol and Executive Residence Board. And I can tell you from testimony from State Capitol Police and others, ironically, the 100,000 people protesting, there was virtually no damage to the State Capitol. There was like a couple of, they literally had to take a pen or pencil and use that as a marker on the wall to show how big the couple of scratches were. And then the lawn outside, a little bit of that had to be replaced because, you know, there were 100,000 people marching around.
Right.
But I think it's just remarkable to have that many people exercising their freedom of speech and protest, and there was virtually no physical damage done to the building proper. So I think that says a lot about the people who came to exercise their First Amendment rights. But, you know, it was probably, in my opinion, one of the most, I guess I'll use the term maniacal, plans ever hatched, because as people may or may not remember, I think there's a lot of pain that people have kind of put away. But when Scott Walker ran for governor the first time in 2010, he never mentioned
Act 10. Not once.
Yep. Never mentioned
Not
it.
Once.
Right. And so it was, I can tell you, it was a complete surprise to almost, if not everyone in the Senate Republican caucus, when the governor and his people came in to a closed Senate caucus and announced what this plan was. And you could, you know, there were a handful of people that were joyful, and there were others that were just, you know, like, what in the hell? Because it's like, we didn't sign up for this. It divided people. It divided legislators. I can tell you there were people behind closed doors that voted for Act 10 that were physically ill because of it.
But they did it anyway.
But I think the most lasting impression, and I saw this as I traveled around the state with my former boss and also former state senator Tim Cullen, a Democrat, that when they would bring up that, you know, there were golf foursomes that no longer golf together. People change pews in churches over Act 10. And I believe it was the beginning of this truly hard split in Wisconsin Republican politics.
Well, and I think, too, like you said, Todd, all the time he campaigned and he was running, he never mentioned this. This was never even a gleam in his eye. Nobody saw this coming. Obviously, he was working with a bunch of people, though they must have spent a fair amount of time, you know, fleshing this out so they could just drop this bomb when they came in. But I think you're right as far as planting the seeds for our division. The way that they demonized teachers after this, and for folks who don't completely understand what Act 10 did, essentially it took away bargaining powers from certain groups, but not from the groups that were more likely to vote Republican. Yeah. At least that's how I see it. Is that accurate?
Yes. I think the short answer is yes, that Walker had figured out, and as you say, people around him, that if you really wanted to break public unions, the way to do that was to take away their rights and abilities to collectively bargain. And I think it's important also to mention, as you alluded to, it's not just the money, but for teachers, educators, it's how much prep time you get, how what kind of insurance options are available to you as school district employees. For nurses, remember, UW nurses are state employees. And they lost their right to collectively bargain. Nurses, how many patients do you get assigned? State, or law enforcement, conservation wardens.
Yes.
I mean, think about that. If you're a hunter, if you're a hiker, if you're an ATVer, a UTVer, the people that keep your trails and your woods and whatnot safe, how long do they have to stay out on a shift? What sort of benefits do they get? So there's a lot of public safety, how we educate our children, that was really affected by Act 10, far beyond how much people get paid.
Well, and that was the thing, too, is when you step back and look at it, it was like the gerrymandered maps. You looked at it and you said, wait a minute, you're going to take these unions and put them over here, and you take these unions and put them over here. What do they all have in common? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see why you're doing this to certain groups. And something you just said, Jane, is it changed the tenor of how we view teachers.
Yes.
And it's something to this day that they still suffer. They still, and this is nationwide, teachers are still looked at as, you know, they have cushy jobs. They make a lot. No, they don't make. They make decent money.
Not great money. Not for everything that you couldn't pay me enough to be a teacher.
But they're not driving brand new. They're not driving brand new Mercedes and on a fourth grade art teacher's salary. They're paying for their own equipment.
They're paying for their own supplies.
And it's getting worse and worse. And when you have a society who's saying to them, it's like, well, you're a teacher. You no one likes you anyways, and you're a taker. You're a moocher.
Right.
It's still a dozen years later, it's still what people think of teachers.
Well, and I think that's why we're having a problem getting more people to go into the field of teaching, is because it was demonized to that extent and it was made so unattractive. And unfortunately, I think, again, this is part of a bigger effort to ultimately kill public education, because that seems to be the goal among some on the right. As an end game, because they want everybody to go to private religious education.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they would like to see the money go.
Correct.
And we're paying for two school systems now, with public schools and with voucher schools. Todd Alba is
my boss.
Go ahead.
Awesome.
I just wanted to do a little.
I was going to say, my former boss, Tom Allball, said, or I'm repeating Jane in my ear. I am my old boss. Dale Schultz said, you know, when this passed and then he voted against it, he said, what we are doing here is effectively creating two K-12 education systems in the state, and we will rue the day when this happened. And there are communities now that are having to go and pass multi-million dollar referendums simply to keep the lights on, not to build fancy gymnasiums or swimming pools, but simply to keep the lights on, because to your point, Jane, Act 10 has created two education systems in the state.
Well, and tragically for a lot of those rural areas, they don't have a lot of private school options. So if your public school might be it for four towns, right, in your corner of Wisconsin.
Yeah, correct. And again, you know, we won't go into the nitty gritty, but I mean, it's just important to remember that, and you guys have talked about it on your show, that public schools have to, as they should, take all students.
Right.
And private schools can just select based on physical abilities, mental abilities, behavioral abilities. They could kick out or accept anyone at any time.
Yep.
And oftentimes, they will keep them just long enough to take the state aid.
Yep.
And then kick them out. And they get to keep the state aid. And then the public school has to pay twice for that student with local tax money.
Oh, that sounds perfectly fair. She says, right, dripping with sarcasm. I'm sorry, let me wipe the sarcasm that spilled off my bottom lip.
One thing you can do, though, and I'll include this in the show notes, is Wisconsin Action Network. I believe that's their full name. They have a website, and they have a specific website dedicated to breaking down every school district in Wisconsin and seeing how much of their money is going to voucher programs. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. As you said, Jane, is a second school system being funded by the taxpayers.
Yes.
And it's all right there. Very researchable. I will put that in the show notes.
Well, and I actually saw an article over the weekend, because they have the same kind of thing going on in Florida, and they're trying to pass this whole voucher thing in Tennessee, which is not very popular there. But in Florida, some of the wealthier parents who are using these vouchers are using that money to pay for their kids' horse riding lessons.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, it does not surprise me. I'll add this kind of parenthetically. Remember, this decision from a Dane County judge yesterday is just that, a local circuit court decision.
Right.
It's a first step. This is not overturning, as I think, you know, it's just not overturning it right now. It's going to be an appellate process. Most likely, it's going to go to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And I do worry, I'll say this, for better or worse politically, I worry of the ramifications. I think this is going to turn the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race in the spring into another referendum on Act 10 if the liberal is elected and the Supreme Court upholds this decision. I think that the legislature, Republican legislature, will pass another iteration of Act 10. Tony Evers will veto that. And then you will have the next governor's race in 26 once again be a referendum on Act 10. And as we saw a couple, 3 weeks ago, the truth and facts don't always matter. It comes down to the perception and the short message of, well, we saved you millions of dollars with Act 10. That's a much more digestible message for voters, the current iteration of voters, than trying to get down to the nitty gritty as we just did the last 15 minutes.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation and also talk about the upcoming Supreme Court race. As you always say on your show, it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We never stop voting. Stay with us. Todd Alba is our guest. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park. In Racine, you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. You can catch us on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We are joined by our friend and colleague from a secret bunker location somewhere in northeastern Wisconsin. Todd Alba is with us. If you want to join us.
Do bunkers have windows?
It's a different kind of bunker. It's an above-ground bunker.
Great coffee, I'll tell you that.
Well, you got to bring your own coffee when you go to bunker. An hour from now, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the You're in Trouble Now edition, and that that does not start with a Y.
Oh.
So join us for that at 11:51. But right now, Todd, we're going to continue talking about this decision by a Dane County judge to strike down Act 10, essentially saying you can't say one group of employees can collectively bargain and the other group can't. But as you pointed out, Todd, this is going to be appealed. Robin Voss has already said that. And then it's going to go through many, many more steps before this completely gets undone or gets reinstated in some way, shape, or form. But as far as the Supreme Court race goes, that would be quite whiplash if we just got Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. We finally have fairer maps. And now if we elect Brad Schimmel, is it, right?
Yep.
Is the Republican who's running. Then we're going to be right back where we were.
And then the next year, and then the next year, and then the next year.
You know, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. And I think maybe you guys talked about before on the show, but maybe it's just good to take a moment to remind people of the basis of this decision by this Dane County judge saying, you know, why he decided, Judge Frost decided to, at least at the Dane County level, overturn this. And basically the argument here is, and I can give you a little insight of having been in the room, that yes, there was, because Act 10 did not affect every public employee. There were a few people sliced out. And
right.
The biggest one was the Wisconsin State Patrol. Turns out Wisconsin State Patrol, yes, they are public employees. They are state employees. So why did Scott Walker decide to carve them out? Turned out that Scott Fitzgerald, who is now a U.S. congressman, was Senate Majority Leader at the time in the state Senate. And his dad was selected by Scott Walker to run and head the Wisconsin State Patrol.
I forgot that.
Fitzgerald's dad was running the State Patrol at the time. And they said, you know, we really don't like this idea so much of having to lose our collective bargaining. And it turns out that Walker said, you know, I probably need some loyal law enforcement officers to protect my office. So when you went into the state cap, and let me make clear, I have the utmost respect, the vast majority, 99% of our Wisconsin State Patrol are wonderful people who do a great job and put their lives at risk for us every single day. This is not a reflection on the State Patrol as a unit, but rather the leadership at the time and this kind of cabal between the Fitzgeralds and Walker that, hey, we'll take care of you if you make sure you protect my office and my car wherever I go around the state of Wisconsin. That's why the State Patrol was carved out. And so this judge in the lawsuit is saying, wait a minute here. You can't, according to the Wisconsin State Constitution, say this applies to all public employees, but then make this carve out for a couple of Wisconsin employees.
Right.
It either has to apply to everybody. Or it applies to no one.
Right.
So that's the basis. I just want people to understand that's the basis why it was overturned.
And that's my point is like in comparing it to the gerrymander maps, when you take a step back and you look at who's in and who's out, it's like this isn't right. It looks like they're not even trying to look nonpartisan or, you know, in the best interest of the people.
I thank you for bringing up Scott Fitzgerald's dad, because I had completely forgotten about that little aspect of Act 10.
Little detail.
Yeah, just details. And Tom, I know you want to point out, we're probably not going to be having enough time, Tom, but the whole Diane Hendricks divide and conquer, you know, that you can find on YouTube, just Google for, you know, Scott Walker, Diane Hendricks, and they're talking about, right to work, making it a right to work state.
It's 15 seconds of saying the quiet part out loud.
Exactly. And one of my other favorite parts of Act 10, if there could be anything, it's remembering Bill O'Reilly on Fox News playing footage of the violent Act 10 protesters in Madison. Yeah. And there's people fighting and throwing punches at each other. One little minor detail, there were palm trees in the background. Madison is so famous for palm trees in February.
I was in Madison during those protests. I was walking around.
Did you see palm trees?
I saw palm trees. I actually punched a palm tree. I punched a palm tree because it got in my way.
Well, but as one does.
It was amazing to witness, though. You're walking tens of thousands of people in a circle, chanting, and then you sort of look and you look at what's going on, and you can hear the singing in the Capitol. It was something to behold. And thinking about what happened this weekend to what we did a dozen years ago, it almost seems like all that, even that little protest, not that little protesting, but that protesting so far long ago was worth it, because we left an indelible mark, and now something's being done about it, and Wisconsin's crawling its way back into the good graces of regular society.
Well, we'll see how long that's going to take.
Yeah.
Todd Alba, make sure you join him right after our show, noon to 2 p.m., the fabulous Todd Alba Show. Thank you so much for taking time out, my friend. We will see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.